until 11. You're listening to Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse. Proudly brought to you by Cario Waste Management. Station sponsor.
So with me in the studio now for her regular Monday segment is Stephanie Asher. How are you, Stephanie?
Very well, thank you, Mitchell. And yourself?
Yeah, very good. And happy Australia Day to you.
Happy Australia Day to you too. I know you've probably already acknowledged the celebration of the day on your show, but personal and positive wish to you and all our Monday listeners.
Yes, and I've got to read this commentary on the website because I do like it when people write in and say that we're hopeless because it gives us an opportunity to respond. But sometimes you get the occasional good comment as well. This one's from Alistair. Says, Stephanie was very pleasing and informative. I agree with the Victorian tourism badging of the Cadell Evans riders being in Melbourne, which was one of the hot topics of last week. The race is full with around 4,000 riders and heaps of interest. Geelong will be on the world stage during the race, and in other publications, we can state Geelong the home of the Cadell Evans rides. That was just one of the points of feedback that came through last week.
That's terrific, isn't it? Very nice.
That's right.
Very nice. It's always lovely when people take the time to say something kind.
That's right. And you're always welcome to respond on the website at mitchellsfrontpage.com. We'll try and read it out if we can.
Great.
That's right. But Australia Day, tell us about it. What does it mean for you?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's obviously been a very well spent 227 years building the version of this amazing country that we live in. But sort of along with that, I'd like to acknowledge that Australia Day doesn't mark a happy time for many Indigenous Australians. And I saw that Keith Fagg wrote an article about that in the paper on the weekend. And I thought, you know, can we also acknowledge that for many important people of our country that this day marks the invasion of a new culture that hasn't always really proved to be wise or kind? So locally, I'd like to take the moment to acknowledge that we are broadcasting from the land of the traditional owners, the Wathaurong people, and today of all days to make sure to acknowledge my respect for their elders, past and present, and of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in our region, whether you're listening now or later. I'd just like to say thank you for looking after this land that we all now enjoy, because I think to make a habit of putting that acknowledgement in is something we should all make more effort to do.
Yeah, I like Australia Day as being a day where we give thanks to Australia and what it is. And you have to sometimes go overseas to appreciate what a great country it is. And when you land back at Tullamarine, pretty much on the whole, it's always, I'm really glad that I'm back and I'm glad that we have it so good here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that Australian accent on the flight home from an overseas trip is always very funny, but
that's
very
right.
Welcome to,
depending
isn't it?
On what airline you fly with, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting discussion. It happens every single year on around the 26th of January. I saw one article from Dick Smith saying that it should be renamed to the First Fleet Day. Some people say that it should be moved to a different day because it's not the day that the invasion took place. Do you think that it needs to be changed in any way?
No, look, I think having the discussion is what's important, and acknowledging that there are different views all the time, but I think to keep it fairly simple and consistent is something we probably could be happy about.
That's right, and there is something that always goes around Facebook about changing the name to Citizens Day, but I think that's more just to rile up people's patriotic views rather than being a serious proposal.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there, Mitchell.
Yes. Australia Day, obviously, it's all about the Festival of Sails as well. That's an exciting event for Geelong each year, isn't it?
It's fantastic. I was lucky enough to be at the launch on Friday night, and a lot of people there, a lot of excitement. The place was buzzing. I think they organised the weather particularly well. It was just perfect on the evening of the launch. And the entertainment that's on today, it presents a bit of a personal dilemma for me at 1 o'clock. We've got two Ocean Grove stars at 1 o'clock on the different stages. We've got Tim Neal and his Hammond Trio at the Yacht Club stage, and also Andrea Robertson at Fanny Park. She's a beautiful singer, songwriter as well, and yeah, there's even more. There's the amazing Imogen Bruff as well at 1 o'clock. So what does one do at 1 o'clock today?
That's right. And you can't just listen to the other ones back or anything. It's live music.
That's right. Yeah. Well, yes. Well, live music. We need more of that too.
But the foreshore definitely comes alive. I was actually talking to someone from Melbourne who's coming down here for a wedding on the Bellarine, and I told them about the Festival of Sails. They hadn't heard of it. They thought it was the Festival of Sails.
Oh,
where
really?
You spend a lot of money and there's a few bargains that come into
like
the supermarket.
Sidewalk sales.
That's right.
Fantastic.
So they didn't understand it, yeah.
The branding change, and I was discussing this on Friday night at the launch, I think it's actually really good that it's called the Festival of Sails as one single name now, because I know when I first came down here and it was, I think it's been Scandia Week and Audi Week and a lot of different names, and much as it's always fabulous to have big sponsors,
that's
I think
right.
To to call it what the event actually is does help.
Well, it helps because it's our own, I suppose. It's not Audi's or Scandia's, even though we do love the money coming in to help put on the event.
Yeah, absolutely right. And apparently it is the oldest event in Victoria, the oldest sporting event in Victoria.
Yeah, I've heard that actually.
Yeah.
And it's a tradition as well.
Yeah.
And the other thing you wanted to talk about today was all the committees and councils and chambers in Geelong, because there are a lot of different organisations. I imagine a lot of people either wouldn't necessarily know or wouldn't understand what each one does.
That's right. There was an article that ran in the business pages this week that bemoaned the confusion felt about the multitude of business groups and committees in Geelong. And I think I've even been guilty before of saying it's a little bit of death by committee. I think I found a wonderful tweet sometime that said that a committee, by definition, is a cul-de-sac that lures good ideas and strangles them, which I thought was fairly terrific. But when I first came down to the region, it actually did my head in when I was trying to work out who did what and why. And it seems that some people still struggle with that. But I think I can probably help out because I've spent a decade trying to work this out. And I think I finally have. And firstly, I'll declare that I have been a member of the Chamber of Commerce, of the G21 Regional Alliance and the Committee for Geelong at one stage or another in the past 4 years. And I did that deliberately so that I knew what they all did and what was on offer. And I've also keenly followed the progress of Enterprise Geelong, of course, not least because it was a pivotal part of Keith Fagg's mayoral campaign in its inception in 2012. And I'll also be open about the fact that I've either discussed work opportunities or actually done consultancy work for quite a few of them as well, including G21, the Manufacturing Council, Committee for Geelong, City of Greater Geelong, Vision 2, and even the Tourism Authority, which is now operating under a different name. But despite my original scepticism, I've learned actually that they are all worthy and they are all very professional, and I think they do have a really clear point of difference. So I completely agree with the article by the lovely Lee McCluskey that they do need to articulate a point of difference to remain relevant. And my take on it, and I'll try and keep this as simple as I can, is G21 is the local government voice. It is the representative of the local government, being the sort of representative of the five councils, positions itself as targeting large-scale infrastructure development. It's very effective at it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that change happens quickly through that mechanism.
Because all they do is advocate, and they do that to the best of their ability.
That's right.
But, yeah, they come into the studio here on the first Tuesday of every month at 20 to 10, actually, with Elaine Carbines. I always look forward to that segment. They do a great job. But she was saying that other people are perhaps looking at recreating that model of having five councils that come together, because it's not commonly done elsewhere.
That's right, and represent a region. And I think it is a leader in that approach, and I think it has actually achieved quite a lot on the ground. And it's interesting too, because people say that there is confusion between G21, the Chamber of Commerce, and the Committee for Geelong in particular. But I think the Chamber of Commerce is quite clearly about small business, and they are the voice for business. That's their tagline. They do that pretty well. And the Committee for Geelong is sort of the independent strategic collaborative body. They're all advocates and they're all very professional at what they do, but the Committee for Geelong seems to have the distinction of being very much visionary, future thinking, and doing the things that perhaps the other organisations can't do because they're not politically aligned or they don't have their hands tied to any particular organisation. And the Manufacturing Council clearly has their method in manufacturing, but I think probably they've got the biggest task in rebranding themselves beyond traditional manufacturing. So I think they all do a really good job. They don't tend to tread on each other's toes. I think as long as they're not contradicting each other, they're all very valid. So I've had to kind of eat my words on those different various groups, because they all do have a place. And of course, Enterprise Geelong has changed just as recently as this week. Been folded back into the council.
What is the difference really between G21 and the Committee for Geelong? What do they do differently, do you think?
Well, I think it's that independence for a start, because the G21 is clearly representing the five councils, so it's very local government focused, and so it does have a political connection that is undeniable, whereas the Committee for Geelong, its breadth and depth of membership is across all businesses, and it's mainly focused on big business, but it doesn't have that allegiance to any one particular body. So they're a lot more flexible and agile. They can really do what the others can't do in a lot of cases.
And is there a shift do you think, from big business across to small business? Because we've seen some of the big businesses like Alcoa leaving the area. So is there a move towards more people being employed by small business?
I'm not sure whether. I think there's plenty of new big businesses, as I said last week, new big businesses starting to come down here and invest in the region. But it's an interesting fact, and I don't have the stat to hand, but I'm pretty sure it's somewhere very high in the 90s even, perhaps, of the number of small businesses that employ people in Geelong. I think it's micro businesses in particular and small businesses that are actually the driver of all of the employment in this region. We don't really need to rely on the bigger organisations.
Which is, I guess, a good way to be because it's diverse.
That's right.
So if you have downturn in one sector of the economy, it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's out of a job.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think it's also a reflection of the sort of entrepreneurial nature of people who maybe move into the region too. Something that I've found interesting doing presentations in the last 6 months, I usually ask the audience how many people are born and bred in Geelong. And in the past, that would have typically been up towards 75%. Now it's 20 to 25%.
Really?
In a room full of 30 to 40 people. It's usually not more than 10 and quite often only about 5 people who are local. So there do seem to be more people on the move into the region.
So people are moving out of the region that have been born here and people from Melbourne and such are coming down?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, unless I'm just talking to people who are interested in transformation and leadership who maybe have already achieve that in their born and bred status.
Yeah, but the committee for Geelong, how is the membership there made up?
It's very broad. What do you mean? How?
As in, who is it, who are members? How do people become members? Who is it representing essentially?
It's business, so and largely the larger businesses, but really anybody can apply. There is a community level membership as well. It's a very broad membership. I think there's about 130 members, whereas the chamber I think has upwards of 800 members. So they've got a lot more of the micro businesses, whereas Committee for Geelong would have the bigger end of town really.
Yeah.
And politically, you know, I think there has been a little bit of a historical perception that has certainly changed. When you look around the table, there's people from all sides of the political spectrum.
That's right, because business isn't just reserved to one side of politics. There's people across the board, isn't
That's
there?
That's right, yeah.
That get involved. And obviously with a new state government and all that, you've got to be across all the different sides of politics.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right. And you're talking about as well the Cadell's Great Ocean Road Race next weekend.
Yes, I think that's just one of the most exciting things to be happening here in the decade, really, to have such an international event here and a first-timer, and the fact that I'm very local from Ocean Grove, I'm probably fairly biased, but we do see Cadell training every now and then, and it's just a really fabulous opportunity to pull our best international manners out of the drawer, I think, and use them liberally and sort of be kind to cyclists and nice to the tourists. There has been a few incidents, particularly on the 13th Beach Road in the last couple of weeks.
Yes, we did touch on that last Tuesday.
Yes.
Which I think, as I said last Tuesday, both people, both groups need to respect each other. I imagine there's a few rogue cyclists out there that run red lights and all that, and also some rogue motorists out there that do all sorts of crazy things on the roads.
I think you're completely right. In fact, my husband's got a theory that it's actually the same person. They're probably behaving the same way on a bicycle as they do in a car. And, there's a lot of room for more tolerance, I think. And, the ideal is that we can cycle anywhere safely, isn't it?
That's right. Because the first argument you get from a cyclist when you say cyclists should pay registration is that, well, we already do because we drive.
That's right.
Very important. Just one other thing I wanted to ask you about. The Queensland election is on the weekend. I don't know if you follow that closely, but we've been talking about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Anything that excites you with that?
No, not really. I've got to be honest here, Mitchell, and I'm trying to stay away from keeping too close an eye on politics at the moment. But it will be very interesting. I have been sort of watching from a distance on Twitter, so I think I'll reserve my comments on that for now.
That's right. And next Monday we will have a result.
Yeah.
Maybe,
right.
Unless it's a hung parliament. Yeah. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming in, and have a great Australia Day, or what's left of it. And we'll see you in the studio next week.
Lovely. Thank you, Mitchell.
Thank
Let's
you.
Catch up next week.
Let's do it.
Cheers.
Take a break. Still ahead this hour, Monday Sport with the Monday Sports Panel.